Hello, Life Transformational Self-Help Production listeners. I am your host, Wilhelmina, and we've already made it through 5 months of 2024, and I'm praying that your New Year's has been sun-kissed with the overwhelming love and favor of God. So this episode will begin with bringing a shift into the atmosphere of our mindset with the thoughts of gratitude and for receiving God's blessings. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. There's love, peace, forgiveness if you need that, deliverance if you need it, and protection covering you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. So, this is your opportunity to enter in at your own discretion and let the healing process begin. Let the transformation begin. God wants to transform your life today, at this very moment. We'll open with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us with opening our eyes and allowing us to be in your presence once again. First of all, we want to acknowledge you and we want to ask you for forgiveness of our sins and to restore your love, joy, and peace wherever is needed to all who may be feeling as though all hope is lost. In you, Father God, it is never lost. We're always complete in you. All we have to do is seek, knock, and we'll find you. Father God, download in me your will to share with our listeners your revelation, which points to clear direction so that our listeners would be drawn into a relationship with you that they will never leave. Father God, in the name of Jesus, stretch out your healing hands and heal all who is in need of it mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually unstable. Father God, in the name of Jesus, open the eyes of the heart of every listener here. Father God, wherever they are lacking, let it be they will see who and what they are to become and walk in their gift because they see you in this year and forevermore. And to draw them into a closer relationship with you, a personal relationship. Help them to make preparations and the correct decisions for change, which will lead to their prosperity, healing, deliverance, freedom, as well as move in the now and hearing your directions to stay conscious, meaning to stay awake, not sleepwalking. Help our listeners to understand that it is according to their faith that the impossible becomes possible. Because with you, God, all things are possible. There isn't one thing. Because you don't lack. It's only man that lacks in the understanding of who you are and who they are and their destiny, their calling. Forgive every one of their sins and pour out your spirit over and into their lives overflowing, causing the eyes of their hearts to be open and active to the hearing of your voice and in fulfilling your will, preparing and establishing them to wait with great expectations upon having a prosperous, greater outcome than what they have perceived in their past. Fresh anointing, Holy Spirit, saturate the atmosphere of this podcast. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Bring everyone in. Draw their attention. And Father God, we silence every witch and warlock and every demonic spirit that comes up against the knowledge that's coming from you, from heaven. Let me be the PA sound to heaven to draw others to the kingdom and bring in heaven, your kingdom, to the earthen vessels. Not to the physical earth, but the physical earthen vessels and the spirit in the heart and the soul of them. Teach every listener your way of thinking, which is the mind of Christ, so that everything they say or do will be the manifestations of what your hopes, dreams, promises are for their lives through your will and not the will of their own. Cause a shift to happen in their perceptions of how they have once thought and bring it into a reality of prosperity, transformation, through guiding them into living every day in the now, following your footsteps, walking the walk of lifestyle in your feet, your footsteps, Jesus. Because it is in the now that you are moving. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. Saturate this atmosphere. Saturate every home. Let your spirit move in every home. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Every home, give you all the glory and all the honor, all the worship, all the praise. You are strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So before we start this episode, I would like to acknowledge that any music that you hear in the background talking, it is coming from the radio. I'm using it as a background filter. It's coming from the radio station in Praise Inspiration, Houston's Inspiration, which is on 92.1 FM. And right now we are tuned into the Willie Moe Jr. Show. So all music that's coming, if you want to hear this type of music, you just turn to this station and you'll get what you're looking for. A diverse of music. Okay, so we are starting this episode with its title, and I believe this is episode 13 or 14. So I still have some of my writing I haven't recorded yet. And it's titled, Reaping the Harvest of What You Sow. In our episode, you will get clarity about what type of harvest you may be reaping and discover that your end results could either prosper or hinder the maturity of your crop. One particular scripture that we need to keep in mind is Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. This will be what we will base our episode upon. It is the point of focus. So when we talk about reaping a harvest, when we think about it, we actually think about a farmer, how a farmer goes out and tills the ground, getting it ready for the harvest, and in depending upon what season it is, they go out and plant. And planting and tilling the ground and watering your substance determines what kind of crop you will be reaping when it's time for harvest. It'll give you how much, and it will give you what type, and it will give you whether it is life or death to what you have sown. So, but he, this is the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. So in other words, what this scripture is speaking about, what you have sown in your past or what you are sowing now, it will be. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it is something positive or negative, it will be what you will reap in the future. So what does it mean to reap? Here's our definition. It means to get a reward, to get as a return or a result from something. And we also want to know, what does harvest mean? Harvest is the result or consequences of any act, process, or event. So really think about that. So it has the consequences. The harvest is the one that is the consequences of what you have done in your past or what you are doing now that's going to happen in your future. But these things can be changed by making a healthy choice and decision of what you're expecting to receive in that harvest. So I'm sure you've heard the saying that you reap what you sow, and that is even in the Bible scripture. Or you'll bring bad karma. I've heard that from people talk about bad karma. So bad karma comes from you doing anything in opposition of what the will of God says for us to do. So what you do now and what was done in your past will determine your future output of what type of reaping you will harvest in the future or in the now. See, your past in this instance is connected to your due season now. To explain this clearly, some of us may be either prospering in this season or may be suffering from what we may have done in our past. That's why we need to be conscious of which choices we are about to make and make the right decision. Don't be so quick to get into things which you haven't seek wisdom from God. You will find yourself in a place of bitterness, uncertainty, and you will find yourself blaming God for something he didn't approve of. Be anxious for nothing, because where there is impatience, there is also a trap awaiting from our adversary, who is our enemy, the devil. It could be a trap forever leading to your demise, meaning the death of you spiritually, mentally, financially, physically, and emotionally. Or you could take and learn from it how to gain control of your emotions, because it is always our emotion which puts us in a predicament, unexpected suffering. So you don't reap an unprosperous harvest of sowing. A good example, if you choose to join a social club such as a college fraternity or a sorority, and now you're going through their stipulations, or you're planning to go through without carefully thinking out or researching what types of agreements you are coming into agreement with, that would be an unwisely decision. Most students won't do their background studies on where and how these sororities and fraternities were developed. And that's because they're only interested in getting in and getting to what they believe is a deceptive lie, which is good. But at the same time, it is a foolish act to come into agreement with something you have no true knowledge about, and it be a way of the enemy using idolatry to reel you in to agreement with disobedience to what God's will speaks for your life. And this brings a curse upon your life. If you don't believe me, you can look this up in the Bible. So right now, I'm piggybacking off my pastor, Jerry Flowers, and JT Flowers, who is teaching, and off what Holy Spirit has been teaching and manifesting the manipulations deriving from the devil within these sororities and fraternities. And the one focus it is doing that the enemy is really pressing towards is to entrap God's people into following something which seems innocent and sinless in the eyes of people, but isn't innocent in the eyes of God. These sororities and fraternities have students coming into covenant and agreement with yoking to and bonding, coming into bondage to do evil in Satan's deceitful plans, carrying it out. In other words, you're standing in agreement, in cahoots with that which is okay to practice evil on your sisters and brothers, when you know that it is for us or for them to come together as a family, as God has created us to be one family, one body. And the enemy, Satan and his demons, are jealous. And it is a spirit of Leviathan that is controlling, trying to dominate and separate the family of God to keep us from the presence of our true love in our place of standing in righteousness with God. And this is with all human beings who exist, whether you're outside of the will of God or if you're inside the will of God. The enemy wants to destroy what God has created, what God has put a promise on. It is in your hands to make sure that whatever the enemy is trying to take from you, you protect it. And the only way that you can protect that is through receiving the will of God, following in the footsteps of what Jesus taught us. And not only that, saying yes to his will, to his way, and yes to an assignment which is placed before you. Every human on this earth has an assignment. It's either your assignment for God to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earthen vessel, reconciling it back to God, or your own assignment as a destroyer on earth to draw others to the one place that humans were not created to go to, but by choice, that's where they will go by following Satan, which is hell. Keep this in mind. Meditate on the fact that you weren't created to go to hell. And God does not send anyone to hell. You send yourself there because human beings were given a choice. And you make the decision. Which way would you go? No one else is responsible for that. Not even God. Not even Satan. You can't even blame Satan, because Satan can only entice you. He can offer it to you. It's a matter of you saying yes or no. You'll make your yay, yay, and your nay, nay. Your nay, no. It is about conscious thinking and maturing, growing up. Grow up. And I know a lot of people are offended by things that we're putting, that is being put up. What the Holy Spirit is telling us, yes, the Holy Spirit is going to offend. You're going to have to choke it up and get over it. And you're going to have to just, I'm not going to say man up. You're going to have to level up in your walk with God. That means get on the straight path. Because here, when this word is going forth, this word is the truth. It is not buttering it up. It is not making it where it's easy to swallow, because the hard truth is the enemy doesn't care diddly squat about you. All he care about is destroying, because he knows his end is death. His end is him not existing anymore. And he wants to take the rest of us with him. But you can't give him that control. You cannot give over what God has given to you. Jesus paid a price. We are priceless. No man can pay a price for our life, because Jesus already covered that. His blood covered everything. It even defeated Satan, placed Satan under our feet. We have the same power. He's given us all power and authority to do that. Satan has no control over us. We have all power authority over the all powers of the enemy. That means that even the demons, they have to bow down to the name of Jesus, and they have to flee. They have to get out in the name of Jesus. So, with God, there are always evidence. God leaves evidence, a trace. If you see, Jesus is the part of the trace that's left, the evidence left. John telling the story, if you read the whole chapter, all the chapters of John, you will find that the whole story from the beginning to the end, evidence is left. None is left out. And the only way that you don't know and you don't see any evidence of that this is a true existence is because you are lacking in your studies. You're not reading. You're not studying. And not only are you not doing that, you are not walking in the will of God. You don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you. And I'm going to keep saying that it serves no purpose for a Christian believer to walk around without the Holy Spirit residing in them, because the Holy Spirit is what gives us power over the enemy. It gives us clear direction. It even helps us to discern the different types of spirits and what we should be walking in, whether we are supposed to do, say yes to something or no to it. It is the conscious thing that taps us on the shoulder and tells you to turn and go the other way if it's not of God's will. And it always traces back everything back to what God has spoken. It is revealed in scripture that these sororities and these fraternities are idolatry and should not be entered into agreement with, because it is a signed deal with the devil and his kingdom and puts you as a Christian believer in opposition with God. If you don't understand what opposition is, define it, because you need to know what are you doing. That's making it where anything that you bring to God, God don't hear you. Your prayers, God don't hear it. Well, God, the thing is, God is not listening, because it's different. It's a difference between hearing and listening. God hears it, but he's not listening. Listening, he will not act upon it, because you are in opposition. You're not listening to what he's doing. That means listening. Listening means that you are doing exactly what is being taught. What God is saying, you following in his ways. And not only that, to remind you that you are coming in agreement with it as being a signed deal with the devil and his kingdom, and you are in opposition, as a Christian believer, you are in opposition with God. Now, if you are feeling some type of way about this subject and what is being brought, then there is a spirit of Leviathan. That is a spirit of pride, and that is higher than just the pride, which means you have the boldness to go and just keep doing whatever it is that God is telling you that is not the right way. And it means that there is pride ruling your heart, and it needs to be dealt with through you receiving the Holy Spirit to break up the fallow ground and you becoming humble in the sight of the Lord. So to help you become humble and to understand the different things of how this could be an idolatry, you will find in the word which has been spoken about all idolatry, Leviticus chapter 5 and 6 is one, Ephesians chapter 5 and 11 is another, 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 is another, and Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 through 34 and James chapter 5 verses 12 are others. This speaks on idolatry. The word doesn't lie. And so as I receive more revelation on this subject of idolatry, I will share with you Holy Spirit's wisdom. And another agreement we come into with is that so-called Christians will reap the harvest of what they sow is the consequences of indulging in idols and practices coming from a Jezebel spirit, practicing witchcraft in hopes of causing harms to others and thinking you are gaining some kind of value, power, and authority over that individual. So let me give you some revelation. Holy Spirit, we're going to let you know the revelation is witchcraft is powerless against the power in the name of Jesus. Ain't nothing greater than the power and the blood of Jesus. It is all a lie, a deceptive lie that the enemy has placed upon Christians who are in fear of any harm being done to them. And you have to understand that those who are in alignment with God's will, the blood of Jesus is covering you. That means from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And that means internally and externally. No matter what the enemy tries to do, witchcraft has no power. It's what you believe. It's all about your faith. And you, if you keep in mind that God is your shield of faith, it is in scripture. Your shield of faith, you will dodge the fiery darts of the deceptive lies coming from the enemy. But those who are in opposition of God's will, they are the ones affected by what is believed with the witchcraft. I don't care how many curses, how many spells that are spoken and sent out. In God's word, it says, it is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That means nothing physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. So when I say physically, when the enemy is not getting his way and he sees the defeat, he will come at you with something physical to try to harm you. But as it says in scripture, that God has given us all power and authority over all power and authority of the enemy. That's meaning we can tread We can do what we can with our feet. Our feet is our weapon over the enemy. We can tread over the serpent, the scorpion, and all power and authority of the enemy. And we shall not be harmed. This is all scripture I'm speaking. This is scripture. You can look it up. Type it in here. And God is a man that he don't lie. So everything I'm speaking is true. So there is safety in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. For those who are walking in righteousness, those who are lined up in his will, those who is working toward, we're not perfect, but those who love the Lord is going to walk, and they are going to, no matter what, stay on the path of righteousness. Even when they fall, they get back up and they keep going. No matter how desperate the spirit is, because that spirit of Leviathan is desperate. And it'll keep coming at you. But you can keep casting down, casting it out. And you can also cast all your cares, like Jesus said, on him. And he will remove it. And you can rebuke and bind it. But if you are in opposition of what God's will is and what God is telling you to do, meaning your old disobedience, no matter how much you bind and you rebuke, the demon will not leave. It's going to stay. It means that you have an open door that you have to close. That means repentance, going back and renouncing it. And don't forget to go into your family history. Oh yeah, because things pass down. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. And no matter how desperate that spirit is, it is still powerless, and they resort to physical force for harming others. But God has given you the strength and the power. In your weakness, you are made strong. It's in scripture. Now that you have gotten a little bit of how you reap the harvest, and you learn what it means to actually reap that harvest, and what you might bring forth. And I even given you examples of some things that could be the harvest of you reaping something so detrimental to your walk in life, your spiritual walk, as well as your physical and your emotional and mental state of being and your soul. Satan is desiring to sift you, as he has done Job. The only way you are to survive the sifting is to be aligned in the word of God, in the will. Stay there. God loves you. Satan don't love you. He doesn't care about anything. He has nothing to offer you but death. Everything physical will pass away, but everything that is spiritual will live on forever. So what you do that's in the spirit is what you will reap the harvest of. Now it's time for us to transition over into the final phases of our episode. I would like to invite you to a prayer of confession of faith and repentance. Could you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you forgive me of my sins. And I believe that Jesus, you rose, you came, and shed your blood, and you came and laid on the cross just for me. And you got up on the third day with all power in your hand, defeating death and crushing the head of the serpent to his demise. And you've given us all power and all authority over that, which we place our feet on the head of the serpent, crushing everything that is in opposition of your will I'm asking you to come into my life and direct my path towards your righteousness. My hopes and dreams are in you. And without you, I can do nothing. And Father God, you are the only source and for making my dreams, visions, and destiny a reality. And it is according to my perceptions of who you are that I may increase. In you, I have my being. Every breath, I return to you. I could do nothing. But Father God, I surrender every area of my life to you, now and forever. And I believe that you are my Lord and Savior, and I have salvation. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now that you have prayed this prayer of belief in Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and getting, receiving salvation, which is the first part of the baptism, it is only the beginning of what's to become or to be completed. If you have not been water baptized, which is our symbol that you have died and you become a part of the body of Christ, that you are family, and that everyone is can see that you are a new creation and you brought into the newness of life. And you must receive the Holy Spirit, which is the completion of our sealed promise from Jesus. And in scripture it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And this could be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So now the Holy Spirit is our only way of escaping and having liberty, freedom, and peace of mind for temporarily living in this world. Today, if you are unsure or struggling about which way to go, the episode which was presented before you, you need to really reflect on what your future will look like because of the choice that you make today or the choices you have made and the decisions you have made in your past. So right now, this is an opportunity for you to receive God while he is near. It's not a time for you to turn your back on God because you need him more now than ever. So in scripture, it speaks about Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And this is found in the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 62. You may be wondering when it will be the right time to receive the Holy Spirit. Right now, this moment that you are listening in on this podcast episode is the time. That was after you had come into this 0 to 5 seconds. So this is your time to choose today whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be man? Meaning that man is capital M-A-N, meaning the world. We're not talking about a physical man. That we're talking about physical bodies. Choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is found in Joshua 24 and 15. Yes, me and my family, my house, we will serve the Lord. Honor him. So reflecting over your life, you may have come to a point where it's time for you to rethink and change what you're used to doing. If things haven't turned out to be what you expected it to be, it's time for you to come out of the comforts of fear, doubt, worry, and doing it yourself, shame, unbelief, and all negativity that you have made a home with. Because when you are trying to do it yourself, that is pride, and pride leads to Leviathan, which is overall. pride. So we're talking about the fence of security, that you're secure in yourself and you haven't given it to God, to trust God. This is a fence that you've been holding on to for so long, and we are speaking of you to step out with trusting God 100%. But if you choose not to do so, it is one way of choosing defeat over victory. And you are saying that that you are your own God. And it's for you to still keep your foot in one place of heaven and in another in the other place of the world, just in case you miss out on an opportunity for going back to God or God prospering you. So really reflect on the fact that taking this type of risk could cause you to miss the rapture. And this is also defined as double-minded thinking. Remember, if you go back and you look in scripture in James chapter 1 verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness will cause you to do anything without giving it a thought. That makes you dangerous to not only yourself, but others around you. You are accountable for the choices you make, whether it has been in your past or the present. And you have no one else to blame. Like I was saying, you can't blame Satan for your decision. He can only offer it to you. And all you got to do is say yay or nay. So don't be deceived by double-minded thinking. This is impossible. And stop allowing the enemy to feed you his lies. And just in case you don't have any knowledge about him being the father of lies, it says in scripture, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is found in scripture, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. So one thing God has said, you can't worship two gods at the same time. So you have to make a choice. You choose either love one God, and you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. And you can't worship God and money both. This is found in scripture, the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24. But choose wisely, because that day you choose to step back into sin or turn and go the opposite of what God has planned for your life could become the darkest day of your life and cost you more than physical things, which may seem of importance, but the greatest of them all is an eternity in heaven. Going back home, if you are really looking for a true reality, if you're looking for a true reality, this is what is to come. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 7. So let me kind of give you some things that you may have not really thought about yourself. So your body returns to the earth from which it came, which is the dust. And your spirit will be returned to God, and your soul, there will your spirit and soul stand before God waiting for the judgment for what was done in this life. Your spirit makes up who you are, not your physical body. If you have grasp onto this concept, you will have an understanding of which direction you should go in this life and what you will store up. It will not be materialistic things, because those things can't go with you. Only those things that are spiritual, that goes back into the spirit realm, what is what will last. Don't wait too long before making a decision, because that decision could make your residency permanent in hell, the one place no one wants to be. Also remember that your choices define where your destiny lies, And to choose sin is to step out of alignment headed towards death. And it is choosing to die, not only physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but also you die and never exist again. There are two deaths, the physical and spiritual death. With Christ, you only experience one death, and that is spiritual, dying to self. But if you are in opposition of God's will for your life, you will experience dying twice, physically and spiritually, glorifying self, spirit and soul unresting eternally in hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This can be found in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. If you're finding yourself occasionally or habitually practicing any of these things that I mentioned, because this is important, because the enemy, it has us bound to certain things that we think are no consequences, but does affect us spiritually and soulishly. So the first one I'm speaking of is sexual immorality. Number one, we have to think about, in scripture it speaks of us, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God lives inside of us. Anything that is done in opposition of what God is requiring is a sin against our own body. Sexual immorality, any type of sex outside of marriage, is a sin against our own body. It is the only sin against our own body internally, because that internally is where the Holy Spirit resides, and He will not reside in an unclean temple. The next one is adultery, having any type of sexual relations with others outside of your marriage. This is something so important to give thought to and reflect on. What are you doing? Because you're defiling the temple, not only with adultery physically, but even a spiritual adultery. And also to go back to sexual immorality, any type of sex outside of marriage. When you're not married and you are trying to live for God, and you're offering up and coming into agreement with this type of practice, what you are all doing, you're not only defiling your body internally, but you also are committing spiritual adultery. You're committing a spiritual adultery against the will of God. Just want to make sure that was clear before I move on. So back to adultery in a marriage. Your marriage is a covenant or a partnership between you and the one you've decided for or chose to be in covenant with. And it is a covenant with God, a promise. Plus, God honors marriage between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, and not a woman and woman. It is in scripture. You can look that up. That is another type of idolatry. Sexual sin, and it comes from under the spirit of Jezebel. And a spirit of Asherah. You gotta look these things up. And God honoring a marriage between a man and a woman places the seed of Abraham down the line. Within right standings with God. So our next, the next thing discussing homosexuality. It falls under sexual immorality. It is having sexual pleasures and sex with someone of the same sex. It is a dirty, nasty abomination. It's an abomination to the Lord. It is something degrading, dark, and it is something unpure. And if you are practicing and are living under the same roof with this, sleeping in the same bed, it is a type of shacking up. Which brings us to our next subject, which is fornication. Fornication is sexual pleasure internally degrading the body to fulfill the pleasure of lust brought on from the spirit of Jezebel. That is how Holy Spirit is describing it to me. It is a deadly sin against your own body. And if you are in a relationship, you are married in homosexuality, it is still shacking up. It is a type of fornication. And it is also spiritual adultery. And it is a sign deal with the devil and his kingdom. Meaning you come into agreement or agreements with being dirty, being dark, serving the kingdom of darkness, serving every evil pleasure to be controlled by every darkness that comes from the kingdom of darkness. And another nasty habit we have is gossip. Talking negatively as well as positively about anyone without their consent. Or shall we say using someone else's information as a conversation starter in order to belittle or bully that person, etc., etc. These are sure signs of demonic spirits riding your back. All you have to do is take whatever you're doing, compare it to scripture. You will find that you have demonic spirits right in your back. It doesn't just come with one, it start out with one, but then they invite their family in, their siblings, as I've been speaking about in my book titled Signs of Having Demonic Spirits Right in Your Back. They invite their family members in. Sister, brother, cousin, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpa, all. They come in to sup. And how you live in your household, whatever you entertain, that spirit will come. You are asking for and you are standing in agreement with it. You are asking for it to come in and dominate not only you, your family, and your household. And if you say you're living in you're shacking up, living playing house like you're married and you're not married according to God's will, you are coming to agreement or agreements that spirit is the ruler of your house. And if you are a man, You carry the male seed, which is supposed to be the seed of Abraham. Not a womb, not a woman. If you are a male and you are doing that, you are not the head of your household. You are not running your head, your household. That demon that you have given permission to enter in and entertain is the ruler of your household. Until you surrender, it don't care if you're a believer, you're a Christian believer, if you're living in that kind of rebellion, living outside of God's will, in opposition to His will, you don't have the Holy Spirit ruling your household. It is a demon running and destroying your family. In order to break that ruling, you have to surrender your will to God, turn away from the evil. And you have to turn away from what your eyes see. You have to guard your eye gates, your ear gates, your mouth gate, and you have to guard your mind gate. That meaning your sound mind. Let your mind be ruled by the mind of Christ. So now, if you are talking about these people negatively, whether it's positively, or using them as a conversation starter, providing information to others, you are belittling or bullying that person, and I speak of witchcraft is bullying. And it's not acceptable. It is degrading and it doesn't show love, and gossip is a part of it. Gossip is witchcraft. You can look that up in the Word of God. It will provide you that information. Like I said, it is sure signs of demonic spirits riding your back. Now it's time to break the sin cycle. You know that saying, you are what you eat, meaning physically. Meditate on the fact that this is not entirely true, because you are spirit, soul, and body. So your body is affected by what you eat and isn't all of you. Therefore, your spirit and soul is affected by what you consume on a daily basis, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, mainly with your desires and what you entertain. You will become whatever you give your attention to. That's what I was talking about. Meaning that whatever you entertain, its spirit will come to live inside of you. And it will also not only reside there, it will come to live in your household and dominate that household. And you're not in control of it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is first found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is a book which Paul, who was Saul, was on the road to Damascus when the Lord had intervened with him, persecuting him. Paul is writing this to the Thessalonians to help them, and his prayer is that we be found whole and complete, and that with spirit and God's spirit and our soul connected, and us living in the atmosphere of being preserved and blameless of any opposition to our Lord, to Father God. So like I have mentioned in my previous episodes, that going back to the body, our body is a temporary housing, and that which can't be seen, which is spirit and soul and even our words, that's a good example. What we speak into the atmosphere, it goes into the spirit realm and it cannot be returned. It's only it can only be corrected, but not returned. It is something forever and permanently there. That is the things that we should be building on, what we should be storing up in the spirit realm. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. So that's the things you see in me, or you know, you see in a video, or you can see your grandbabies or your children. That's the physical aspects of what is temporary. So temporal meaning temporary is not something permanent. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So what we can't see, we can't see the angels, we can't see God, but we know that he exists. We know that we can feel the presence. And we can't see demons and we can't see Satan, but we can feel the presence from coming from the spirit realm to the physical realm of where we are. So it's important what we store up here physically to upload into the spirit realm. So if you use profanity, you can't take that back. You can only correct what you said, but those things will be there, and we will be judged according to our thoughts. It will not be because of our deeds. It's what you think, because thinking makes the person. Keep that in mind. What you think is sin. It's sin in thought first. It is not in deed. Deed comes after. A deed is that you stand in agreement and you followed it out. The choices you make today will have a positive or negative outcome on your purpose, and it changes the blueprint of your destiny. So I want to leave with you a little bit more of how you can keep from sinning, because you know that sin comes in thought first and then therefore is acted out. Keep yourself from acting out the deed which brings you into agreement with the kingdom of darkness, with Satan, and it gives them the opportunity, which is open doors to have permission to call, to claim you, to do a claim, to sift you as wheat. But you belong to God. So what you would do is your thoughts, the moment that you recognize, start paying attention to your thoughts. If you have to, write it down to remember, to make sure you never go back to that sin again, because Satan and his demons study you. Although you mess up, they're studying that type of behavior, because it could be a pattern from your ancestors. Because Satan has nothing on you. He can only go pull from the past what he learned. He'll pull from the past to wreak havoc in your life. And I'm not just saying this, and you pull whatever you're going through, go and put scriptures, match it with scripture. You'll find out that is how Satan works. That is how he could bring a deceptive lie to you and cause you to believe it. He has no other way but to pull from the past. So your thing is to keep you from drawing yourself back into the same sin, or you going back into sin. Keep in mind, renew your mind. That's what the word says, to renew your mind on a consistent basis, because if you don't renew your mind, you will go back into a state of repeating the same cycle. That's why at the end of this episode, I present to you some songs that are important for you to go back and I think of. And one of the songs is the song Cycles by Jonathan Reynolds, which he speaks of what you do, you won't remember what you have done, and you'll end up repeating again. But the enemy, he remembers, Satan remembers, and he brings it back to you again. All he does is he presents it, and you have to not follow. And you have to actually have the spirit of discernment. Ask God to discern what the spirit is. What is it from coming from God? That's me. You taking and you studying the word and you comparing it. And whatever is not speaking what is in the word is a deceptive lie. You don't follow. That's how you keep your purity. And if you really want to go even deeper, go back and study Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent came to he changed his form and shape to deceive Eve. And that's how he's still working that same thing. He's the prince of the power of the air. He can bring that spirit to work on you and get you to do what he needed to do, unless you are in the will of God. You are in the alignment and you know how to discern. And if you have a problem with emotions, like I am one that has been having that problem, but God had to show me and give me another tool. He kept giving me tools, but I got to the ultimate one that is really helping me the most. I'm giving myself as an example. My emotions are actually coming from me going through it's something physical. So the enemy tries to use something physical to get to me. But the scripture, when I say that Jesus said, cast all my cares upon me, and I will give you rest, that is a true statement. It is true. Every time you speak it, Jesus is right there. He's listening. And he is working things out for your benefit. Not only speak that, loose the spirit, the scripture that speaks of what's loose on loose on earth is loose in heaven. What is bound in on earth is bound in heaven. That is true. You speak that, you ask God to loose your angels. We are all signed angels, and the enemy has demons signed to us. It's up to you to learn how to use your heavenly tools. And that is one of the tools. You need peace? You loose that from heaven. When I say loose it to earth, that means the earthen vessel. You are the earth. We come up out of the dust of the earth. God has made it, but that is a communication. That is a promise. He has equipped us with every tool that he knows that we would need to be able to fight this spiritual warfare. And we also have to keep in mind that this spiritual warfare, this battle, it is not ours. It is the Lord. We have to surrender that will. We cannot fight it physically, because physical is not spiritual. There are spiritual beings, spiritual embodied beings fighting against our spirit, because it hates the spirit of God living inside of us. So your thoughts, to keep you from sinning, you have to reprogram your mind. And one way to reprogram your mind is every time every dirty thought or negative thought comes in your mind, plead the blood of Jesus against it, because the blood of Jesus, it destroys the yoke of bondage, all strongholds that the enemy try to place on you. And speak the scripture, casting down all imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of our Lord and the mighty Savior. What a mighty Savior he is, to the obedience and all power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And the enemy has to bow down and flee. But like I said earlier, if you are living in opposition of God, the devil and his demons is going to laugh at you, make a mockery of you, and nothing will happen. He's going to bring you turmoil. He's going to bring torture. It's going to bring oppression. It's going to wear you out. So you have to stand in alignment. Get yourself lined up. And for this year, because we're almost halfway into the new year, we got just less than a month left, and we'll be halfway through the year. You might want to make a resolution. It don't have to be your New Year's resolution. Make a resolution to walk in the fullness of God's presence by renewing your mind, meaning to receive a spiritual transplant. That means changing the heart of who you used to be or who you are now to the spirit of who God is desiring you to be right now. Like I said, 0 to 5 seconds. Change your mind, heart, and renewing your mind. And when I speak of heart, I'm not talking about a physical heart. Like I was saying, what's in the spiritual is what will last, what is going to be permanent. A physical heart is not going to be permanent. That should stop pumping and die off. It is the heart of who you are, which is your spirit, that's connected to the heart of God. That is what makes you who you are. And your spirit, which is your new heart, is a connection to being ready for the rapture, and is your connection to the Holy Spirit, giving you power and authority over your adversary, the devil, and his demons, who is our enemy, over all power and authority that he has. He is not above us. God made us above the demons and above Satan. That's what makes it where he has no power unless you give him that power. So now it's time for you to take back. In scripture it says, taking it back by force. Everything that the enemy has stole from you, take it back by force. And don't let them have it anymore. If it's your peace you need back, take it back. Be aggressive, take it back in the name of Jesus. And you have to remember, you can't leave earth without the Holy Spirit, without being water baptized. You have to have all three baptisms. That means the first baptism is salvation in Jesus. Accepting him as your Lord and Savior, that saves you, that puts a covering over your head. The second baptism is water baptism, which is the initial sign that you are a part of the body of Christ, that you take on the crucifixion. That means all the persecution, whatever Jesus went into to save others. So that means that you have adopted yourself into a lifestyle of reconciling believers. I'm reconciling unbelievers into the kingdom of heaven. You're bringing the kingdom of heaven to the earthen vessel. And you will not be able to leave earth without having that. And the last baptism is the Holy Spirit, which is the engagement ring that got that Jesus asked had the disciples up in the upper room to receive. They were to wait to receive that Spirit to come upon them, and thereafter power came upon them where they can do the work that God has left for them to do with holy boldness. So here we are, we're at a part where Jesus and Nicodemus, who is one of the kings, and he is he's like you can tell that he's compassionate about what Jesus is teaching, and he wants to learn more because he believes in him, believes in what he's saying, and he believes that he's chosen by God because of the work that he presented before him, the lifestyle. And so Nicodemus is questioning, you know, how does he get this? And Jesus is letting him know that although he may be a righteous man, there is more that is needed from him to enter into his kingdom. And that is, except a man be born of the water of the Spirit, he will not be able to enter into his kingdom. Because it is necessary. So the Holy Spirit is one part of it. And everything that Jesus is requesting is what is necessary And Nicodemus became a believer, and it, he was compassionate about what had happened to Jesus, and because it hurt him, and what hurts Jesus hurts the body of Christ. Us going back and doing our own will hurts the body of Christ. We are here to strengthen and to bring the kingdom to everyone who is so desiring to be in peace. So like I was saying, Nicodemus was asking this question, and Jesus just repeated that same thing, and it made him, Nicodemus, ask the question, is how could a man be born again? Could he go back into his mother's womb a second time? And we know that anything with God is possible, but that is not how God was doing it. How it is, how it's presented, is that you must be born of God's Spirit, which is, if you understand, in 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 15, I don't know which verse, I believe that's where it is, the mystery that we don't know, the mystery is the gospel, and it is, the mystery is the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. You can go and look that up, type that in, you will find what is the mystery. It is broken down that that is the mystery that the enemy doesn't know. Jesus reminds him to accept a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into his kingdom. So the important part is for you to receive the transplant of the spiritual part of your destiny today, and stay connected to your true destiny or destination. Be prepared to leave and stay erect and being watchful and staying connected to the main source, which is God, which is for us to be able to hear from heaven, to come home when we hear that trumpet blow. Not everyone is going to hear it. And so here's another scripture to have you to reflect on. The day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were in the upper room, and they were all with one accord in the one place where Jesus told them to actually wait to receive what he was sending. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In other words, you completing the equation, believing plus water baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit is the compass which continuously keeps us in position for reaching our heaven-bound destiny or destination. In whom you all so trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. This is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Jesus is the only connection to eternal life, your new heart helping you in making the rapture and getting you into heaven. You may be wondering if it really takes all of this to wake up smiling with great joy and knowing you're free. And yes, it does. It takes 100% of you dedicating your life in prayer and studying the word and comparison and participating in whatever it is that God is having you to do for establishing your mood every day. And it keeps you from being in depression, and it keeps you busy in the Lord and being in his presence, the presence of God at all times. I promise you, this walk of lifestyle, you will not be disappointed. The great pain or whatever suffering, the persecution, it is well worth it. Just as Paul has said, it is well worth it. Our connection to God is through prayer and studying the word and through the Holy Spirit. So humans have the understanding, humans are a spirit house. in a body. And yes, the body you are possessing is a temporary housing, which means it is loaned out to you, because earth is not your home and it doesn't make us who we are, but transports us from point A to point B. When we choose to live for God, our spirit connects with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides or instructs us on how to fulfill the plan that God has for our lives. Receiving the Holy Spirit provides wisdom. It becomes your guide, the help in your times of need. It will be a compass for you when you can't see your way. He is your way for being kept, your strength and sustainability in times of uncertainty. For those of you who believe in Jesus and are living the Christian life, you're not living it fully, because believing and walking the life does you no service if you're walking around without the Holy Spirit residing in you. Without the Holy Spirit, you are just a vessel without any power and a prey for our adversary, the devil, and his demons. The Holy Spirit is your engagement ring and a down payment of God's promise to you. Your protector in a time of uncertainty. Your encourager in a times of sadness. If you are already saved but haven't been fulfilled or filled with the Holy Spirit, or haven't gotten the opportunity to know Jesus on a personal level, this invitation is extended to you so that you could experience a spectacular celebration into living beyond what you could ever think, dream, or ask God or ask for. With God, it is life without limits. Living in His will, it is without limits, because it is His desire that makes it limitless. I mean, makes it unlimited, unlimitless. Thank you, Jesus. Oh no, I better not be just, Lord Jesus. Oh man. Oh. Okay, so excuse me for a minute. I thought I was missed out on something. So with God, it is unlimitless. I think that's what I'm saying, right? And I promise you will not be disappointed. And your life will be great. You, even in your sad days, you will also find yourself with more of joyful days than anything. It supersedes. So now is your opportunity to receive everything God has predestined for you. And because the Holy Spirit, how it operates is, I have been explaining to you how it operates and why we need it. Open up and allow the Holy Spirit to fulfill your lifetime as promised. On your journey to rediscovering what possibilities could become a reality, you may want to ponder upon building a personal relationship with God. As we are ending this episode, please adventure over to the YouTube channel and listen to a song titled The Invitation by Nicholas and The Old Apple Tree by Shirley Caesar and Cycles by Jonathan Reynolds and another song titled No Greater Love by the Mississippi Mass Choir, and our last song, Tomorrow by the Winers. And also to get a reflection of how it will be when you stand before God and His extended love for you when you decide to return from your backsliding state of mind, and those who don't know God to become more aware of the sin cycle and freeing yourself of it, and also the true love you've been searching for to fill that void in your life. So no one else could ever fulfill the space, the missing piece that God has in your life that is missing but God. And keep in mind, remember that you are whole and complete in Jesus. in God. If you're not whole and complete, that means that you're lacking in some area of your spiritual walk with God, and that means that you have to take heed, and you have to go, and you have to do a spiritual checkup on yourself to get yourself back into the place of where you are whole and complete in Him, and that's in Jesus. So, also, could you have the heart to share these episodes with your friends, family, and all they have to do, and you have to do, is direct them to the Anchor.fm app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Breaker Podcast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Google Podcast, and all platforms that this podcast is on. Download, register to listen. And if they are desiring to listen to more, hear more, and being encouraged, and receiving blessings and hearing what God it has the plans for His people, please don't hesitate to click on favorite, follow, and or subscribe buttons located within the app. You will receive notifications of new published episodes. Also, I wanted to let you know that I greatly appreciate each and every listener, and that means adult, young adult, and teen listeners, and Gen Z, and those who are the children of parents who are listening in and participating. I greatly appreciate you, and for taking the time out to listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to His people, and following and becoming a listener and not a hearer. You got to be quick to hear and slow to listening. Or that could be the other way. So you understand what I'm saying? So as we are moving into the mid part of 2024, of the year, may your 2024 be blessed, sun-kissed, overwhelming with God's love, overflowing with the favor of God, blessings in your life, prosperous, victorious over the enemy, keeping the head of the serpent and everything that is following with it, that is in cahoots with it, under your feet, by all power and authority in the name of Jesus, in the fullness of God's presence working through you. Love you all. And this concludes our episode of the Life Transformational Self-Help, Reaping the Harvest of What You Sow. This is your host, Wilhelmina. Have a blessed, prosperous, productive day, evening, morning, afternoon. Peace out.